Welcome to the Three Creeks Church Podcast. We're a church in Gahanna, Ohio that exists to help people find and follow God. We hope this message encourages you, challenges you, and helps you discover how much God really loves you.
All right. Hey, well, one more time. How about for John and Keith Scott for being here today? So awesome. And I love that Key gave you the short version of that story of how God called him here, because I think they're going to get to share more of it as time goes on. And the confirmation has just been over and over and over from the Lord that this is a good thing. And I'm so excited you guys are here. I also worked at camp down in Branson, Missouri for just a couple years. I worked in camp for 8 or 9 years overall, and I thought I would do it for all of my life. I had no interest in changing. I loved running around in wet socks and fake mustaches and just, you know, I wasn't a real big fan of the homesickness. You guys know this, but we came up with a Gatorade Sprite concoction that we called homesick medicine. Worked like a dream. Kids believed it. They loved it. I have a really good Irish accent that worked good in skits, and so I feel like just I was made for camp. And then God said to me, Joel, I want you to be a pastor. And I thought, nah, God, I always said I wouldn't be a pastor. And so if you could just never say that again, that would be perfect. So I just kept going and came up with a couple more skit characters every year and just loved camp more than anything. And then God said, no, Joel, I really want you to be a pastor. And it took him about 2 years to finally break me down. And 2 years of maybe 50 or 75 stories of God just putting it on my heart to be a pastor. And kind of in my negotiating, if you will, with God, I just said, you know, God, if you want me to do this, you got to understand, I know camp. I know how to run camp. I know how to deal with bedwetters. I've got a good Irish accent, God. Like, you gave me that for camp, and I can't use it in church as much. And I'll show it to you sometime. And I just said, God, you got to know that if I'm going to be a pastor, I have no idea what I'm doing. And he just reminded me through time, it's okay, I gotcha. It's okay, I gotcha. So in 2016, Morgan and I moved to Hilliard, Ohio. We joined staff at Movement Church over in Hilliard. And the plan was to be there for a year, do a residency, and then plant Three Creeks Church over here in Gahanna. I told God, hey, I have no idea what I'm doing. And then I told Mark Artrip, the lead pastor there, hey, I said, Mark, got no idea what I'm doing. So would appreciate all the guidance you can give me. Give me the books. Help me meet with pastors. Help me to learn what I should do. I didn't have a church ministry philosophy. I didn't have strong convictions about what was important. I'd gone to church all of my life, but had never been in, behind the scenes, if you will. You would be amazed at how many different churches value different things. The more I looked around at different churches, I found it seemed like every pastor valued a different thing. If I combined all of their core values, I'd have had like 90 or 100 core values at our church. You know how well that would go. Not very well. And so I began to think, okay, where am I supposed to draw the best opinions or the best values? So I would read books and I would meet with people. And then I just got confused. There were so many. I thought, I just feel like we should go back to the Bible, that we should open up the Bible and just look at the first church ever and go, what did they find to be the most valuable thing? And so there's a few verses that actually describe the first church ever. It's in Acts 2, starts in verse 42, and it's about 5 verses. I just want to read it to you. And this describes the first church ever. This is maybe a couple of days, maybe a few months after Jesus ascends into heaven, and he says, go make disciples, tell people what I did, and start the church. This is what they looked like. In verse 42, it says, all the believers in Jesus devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I could spend 2 months going through every one of those verses and talking about how it should flesh itself out in our church. But today I just want to go back to one verse in particular and talk about how much it means and how much it matters that this would be a core value of our church 2,000 years later. Look again at verse 46. It says, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. In the JTIV, which is the Joel Traynor International Version of the Bible, that says, they worshiped together on Sundays, and they had community groups. Right? I mean, they worshiped together in the temple. They all get together. A couple verses later, it says that thousands were being added to their number. So I guess apparently everybody would get together. And then they met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared meals with great joy and generosity. So to me, it means that, yes, it's important to be together, but it's also important to go into people's homes and share meals with great joy and generosity. They had community groups. So we look at this passage, and then I look at other places in the Bible, and we start to figure out, okay, what's going to matter the most at Three Creeks Church? What are we going to hold on to that is going to be the most important things? Maybe you've seen an illustration like this before, but imagine that this is our church. And, you know, there are some things that we want to have in our church, but they're maybe not the most important thing. Like, if you put them in first, you won't be able to fit the big rocks in later. But so, for example, like, we value here having good coffee, right? We think coffee's pretty good. We think it welcomes people. People like coffee. It's not necessarily crucial, right, Aaron? It's not crucial. But it's good. It's good. It's important. But it's important we have it, but it's not crucial. It probably shouldn't be the first thing we put in. We've got a parking team. You guys could probably figure out where to park if we didn't have one. But you know what? We want to make you feel welcome. We've got our podcast on Spotify. For those of you that miss church, you know, you could go back and listen to it. 20 years ago, nobody had podcasts. It's not crucial to our church, but it's helpful, maybe, right? We want to have great signage. Because, again, you'd probably figure it out. But if you're brand new, it's kind of nice to know where the kids are, where the auditorium is, where you can get a cup of coffee. The problem is, and I should have got more sand, but whatever. The problem is, if you put all that stuff in first, there's not going to be a whole lot of room for other things. There's only room, there are bigger rocks that need to go in first. So let's make sure that we don't make this, oh gosh, the priority. Nailed it. That was pretty good right there. We got other things. This is the church. This is our church. We've got other things. I'd call them more important than that. You know, we've got a global impact ministry where we want to know what God's doing around the world. We want to be a part of it. So we take people to Africa. We have nights of worship and nights of prayer. Get together on like a Friday night, Saturday night, and do that. It's kind of cool. We have baptism parties, not just services. Like, we throw huge parties when people get baptized because we think it's amazing. You could have a church without having pizza at baptism, but we like to have pizza, right? It's not the most important thing, but it's important, I guess. And then we're going to plant churches. We want to be a church that plants churches, that plants churches, that plants churches, right? And so we put that in. Again, probably should have got some more rocks for the illustration. You get the point. They're not the biggest rocks that should go in there, because if you put all the sand and all the little rocks in there first, there might not be enough room for the big rocks, and it's important for the big rocks to go in first. It's not that these aren't important, but there are a few things that, as we read the Bible, are maybe even more important than these things. So let's make sure we don't. Make sure we don't fill it up first with the wrong things. So we looked at the Bible and we thought, you know what? We want to have great biblical teaching. Like, we want to go through the Bible verse by verse. 1 Thessalonians says that it's not the creative words of man or articulate pastors that are supposed to help people grow. It's the word of God that is at work in the hearts of men. And so that's why we open the Bible every single Sunday here. We put a priority on it. We believe it's God's word, and we believe it's the best way to live your life. So let's just make sure we put first things first and put the big rocks in first. We want to have an unbelievable kids ministry. We love our kids. We believe in them. We're going to put people and energy and money towards Three Creeks Kids and make it amazing. We want our volunteers to be well-trained. We want our kids to know how much God loves them. We want parents to be able to come in here and worship and learn about God, so and all while knowing that their kids are safe and learning about God. We want to make sure we keep the main things, put the big rocks in first. We want you to feel welcome in this place. No matter where you're at in your spiritual journey, we want you to come in here and feel like you belong here, that you can figure out things. You can belong here before you believe anything. We want you to come in here, no matter what your background is, we want you to come here and feel welcome. And that's really important to us. You got to put the big rocks in first. We want to love our local community. We want Gahanna to know that we love them, that we want to serve them. We care more about the people not in this room than the people in this room. We know there's people in Gahanna that need help, and we want to love them and care for them and be a church that if we cease to exist, they would miss us. We're starting these EL free English classes for adults here in a couple of weeks. By the way, small plug, if you're interested in being involved in that, it starts at the end of September, and today after church, there's a meeting in the volunteer hub or the library right after church. You can just go find out some more info if you want to plug into that. You got to put the big rocks in first. You got to keep the main things, the main things. But there's one more rock that I want to got to put in here. It's a big one, I'm telling you. Trevor, I'm going to need your help. Give it up for Trevor. He's got, look at those muscles. Straight from my yard. All right. Don't fall off. Go, go, go. What are you waiting for?
We going in there?
Hey, Colin, come here. Colin, just push this church back a little bit centered on that table. There you go. Yep, just like that. Let's just put this right on top of there. Put it forward just a little bit. Perfect. Give it up for Colin and Trevor. At no point are you allowed to walk right here for the rest of this morning. Guys, there is one big rock that I just want to make sure is so visible to you as far as what our church values. We started off as a launch team. We met in a basement for a few months. And right out of the gate, we started with community groups. And someone might ask me, Joel, when are we going to stop emphasizing community groups? And I'll say, I don't know, but I'll tell you when. I doubt it's ever going to happen. I am doubling down on how important I think these are. We want to help people find and follow God, and we want you to grow. And we believe that we grow best in groups, that you were not designed to live in isolation, that you were designed to live in community. We are going to push these so hard over the next couple weeks. They launch on September 15th in 3 weeks. And we're so excited about what God will do in and through community groups here at Three Creeks Church. It is core to who we are. If you say, this is my home church, then I'm asking you to join me in putting a strong emphasis and value on living life with other people, the ups and the downs, like John was saying, get in a community group. This is where we grow. There's three things that I want you to know about community groups, but I'm not just gonna just talk all by myself today. I'm actually gonna interview a couple of folks throughout my message that's going to come and try to emphasize or make clear these three things that I'd like to share with you about community groups. The first thing is this, that here at Three Creeks, we want our groups to multiply. And let me explain that by bringing up Josh and Catherine Moore. Would you welcome them? All right, this is, watch out.
It's a lot bigger up here than it was.
Yeah, it's big, it's really big. Trevor, we needed Trevor, it's that big, all right. Let me ask you guys a couple questions. Josh and Catherine, They lead a group in Westerville. They were in the Gorham's group. I guess I'll let you guys tell the story. Josh, yeah. I'll ask you the first question. How did you first get involved in community groups to begin with?
Yeah. I don't think we had left the parking lot of our first week here before we met Tyler and Julie Gorham, which, like, for a first-time visitor of a church was an amazing way to say, like, this is a church that cares about people. And then I think in that service we sat with the Fredrickses and the Greens, and when it came time for us to be like, hey, we should get plugged into a group, it was a no-brainer. That was the group we wanted to get linked up with. And I think just having the opportunity to do life with really solid people was amazing.
Yeah. And then, Catherine, as your group, it got bigger. Tyler and Julie are amazing people. People love being with them. So your group got so big, got to the point where it's like, there's like too many people in this room. And the discussion about multiplying came up. How did you feel about that?
I hated it. I'm an introvert. It kind of takes me a little bit to trust people. And Tyler and Julie are so awesome. You kind of immediately want to trust them. And the whole group is like that. I mean, I think everybody trusted each other pretty quickly. And we had this bond as a team. So it's not something that we were like, lightly wanting to leave, and we're like, I don't know if people will like us that much, if our group will have that same vulnerability. So it was difficult, but I mean, as the group did grow, it became pretty apparent that not everybody was able to talk, not everybody's able to invest at that size, so we knew it was important.
Yeah, so you guys multiplied. I believe January is when you started your group, right?
Yeah.
So you've been through a semester. How did it go? You know, 9 months post-multiplication, how are you feeling now?
Yeah. I think when I think about why is multiplication important, I can give you two really good reasons, and it's the Hansons and the McCaws.
Mm.
I just don't think, like, I could have anticipated getting to know someone so deeply. They become some of our closest friends, and if we hadn't multiplied, like, we wouldn't know them like that, so it was worth it for sure.
Yeah. And here's the bottom line, is that we have not set out to become this big church. Our focus is not to grow. Our focus as a church is to be very healthy, and healthy things grow. So our focus isn't on growth, it's on health, but healthy things grow. If you've been around this summer, if you've been around for any period of time really, you've noticed that over the last few months, we've grown. Even through the summer, there's a lot of new faces. There are a ton of people in here who haven't been in a community group yet. And let's just be honest for a second. If we had 7 or 8 groups that were 14 people tight and new people come into our church, we're like, hey, come and join these groups that already exist. It's a little awkward. It's a little uncomfortable to try to forge your way into a situation where everybody already knows everybody. It just takes more time. And so our hope is that every single group will have a group leader and every single group will have an apprentice. And then when the group gets too big or when the apprentice is clearly ready, we multiply our groups. We don't split our group. We multiply. So one group becomes 2 groups. And then all of a sudden, there are way more seats in the circle for people like the Hansons and the McCaws to join a group. We started with 5. We went to 7. We went to 9. We went to 11. And this fall, we're launching 17 unique community groups. Is that amazing? Is that awesome? So that, you know, and that just comes down to our vision is not to be this close-knit, you know, clicky, if you will, church. We want to be a place where anybody could plug in, make relationships, meet people. And if we just come in here and sit in this dark room and leave, I just think we're missing it. I think we're missing a huge part of what God wants us to do. So we believe that groups should multiply. Would you give it up for Josh and Catherine Moore? The second thing that I want you to know about our groups is that in our groups, we want you to grow in your faith. And I can't think of anybody who I've seen this happen more in than Logan and Emma Bronkema. Would you guys invite them or welcome them as they come up? This is Logan and Emma. I have known Logan for a long time, and a couple of years ago, I guess, met Emma. They have been in my community group for years. They are multiplying. They're going to lead our Three Creeks Youth community group. And they're repping today. Logan and Emma. Logan, let me ask you a question first. What's the best part for you about being in a community group?
I do want to preface. I'm sorry for whoever's next to me during praise and worship. There's a couple high notes that I was going for that I couldn't quite get to now. A little hoarse voice. But what's the best part of community groups? I just, For me, I love that they're incredibly relational. You've been hearing everybody talk about how they're, you know, we're multiplying because we want them to be intimate and smaller. And that's exactly what they are. You can be incredibly intentional with the people that are in there. And I just love getting to know people. We eat food, and the food is incredible. Like, you're lying if that's not a really great part of it. And that just allows you to sit down and get to know some of these people on a really deep level. I love the people that are in the group. And that's easy for me to say. That's the best thing.
Emma, if you, if someone asked you how did being in a community group over the last couple years, how did it help you specifically grow in your faith?
I truly believe that, like, being in a community group is one of the best things about this church. I kind of relate everything to sports, too, growing up, just being on a team. And it feels like your community group is like your team. It's a group you're going through this journey with, and you're able to talk about things you might not be able to at a church, you know, just because you're sitting down and it's just questions are being brought up that aren't easy to talk about. And it's nice to get to know people and not just like see a face at church, but like really get to know them deep down to the core. And you can do that in a community group.
Yeah. Logan, how about you? Just spiritual growth specific. What's happened to you?
Yeah. I think it's great because each week, just showing up, I'm in a study guide. We do study the Bible. That's a real thing that happens. So every week I'm in a study guide. I'm in my Bible in a way that I might otherwise not be if I wasn't filling out these guides. So, you know, I could say confidently, if you were doing the bare minimum, just surrounding yourself with like-minded believers is going to, you know, push you towards Christ a little bit. But there is that. There's the ability to be challenged by other believers. Like the people in the groups I've been in these past couple years have been incredibly. They push me incredibly tough because it is so small, and they do know my life. They know me personally. They know what I'm doing well. They know what I'm struggling at. So they're able to come alongside me, challenge me, and then the back end of that is that there's accountability involved. So you show up week in, week out. You know, it's, this week we were supposed to be bold. And then you're coming in the week after, hey, were you bold? And, you know, that, there's that accountability that exists in those groups. So for me, I feel a tremendous amount of growth credited to community groups, to being in the Word, to being in prayer. We pray a lot. And so these are like core foundational things, you know, for me personally that are really helping me out.
Yeah. Emma, if you were talking to somebody who hasn't been in a group yet and is kind of on the fence, what would you say to them? Why should they join one?
Do it because it's the best thing you'll ever do. No, seriously, like, just talk to people whether it's a day that works or, you know, you're trying out different groups. Like, I just really encourage you to get in one because I've grown so much in my faith because of, you know, the things Logan has said and just from the study guide and the people. It's just such a great thing. So I just encourage you to do that.
Yeah. You know, I think they kind of hit on a couple of things that I was going to share. I talked to somebody last year who was like, we invited him to be in our group, and he said, we have no idea what that is. What is that? Do you sit around and hold hands and sing hymns? Like, we don't know what we're getting into. We'd like to, kind of like you, but this is a new thing for us. Just to settle the record, I guess, or make things clear, they're usually 2 hours long. We spend the first hour eating food and getting to know each other, catching up on life. And then the second hour, we go through what's called a message-based guide. So you come here, you hear what we talk about on Sundays, and then you go there and you go to a deeper level by asking these questions that relate to what was shared on Sunday. And so if you're interested in going deeper in your faith and maybe you leave a Sunday morning with a question, that's the place that you would go to ask the question, and other people might be able to either have the same question or maybe they have the answer. Then we always pray together. So it's not this, it's not even really all that complicated. It's just, you're just choosing to enter into friendships and you're choosing to do it, reading the Bible and praying together. And it's kind of it's not really very a threatening environment. And we think, even if you've never been in one, we think you'd love it. We think you'd come away from the first time just being like, that was great. Even though I don't know what that is, that was great. So, and I would also say this, you know, with Logan and Emma, I have been able to see that Sunday mornings, you guys ever seen a picture of an iceberg before? Where, you know, the expression, the tip of the iceberg, it's not very big. And I would describe Sunday mornings in a lot of ways as far as your spiritual growth as being just the tip of the iceberg. Maybe you've seen like a picture or somebody drew what an iceberg really looks like if you were able to see underwater. There's just a little bit of it that comes out of the water and you might even think it's big. You might even come to Three Creeks on a Sunday morning and go, this is awesome. I feel like I'm alive here. I feel full here. But the bottom line is there is so much more to be had. There's so much more underneath the surface. That is what happens in community groups. All right, give it up for Logan and Emma. Great job. The third thing I want to tell you about community groups, this is the last one, is that we, microphone guy is also the slide guy. Give it up for the team back there. All right. We don't want you to go through life alone. And to tell you a little bit more about this, would you guys welcome up Ike and Chelsea Myers and Nicole Evans? Come on. Ike and Chelsea are, this is Nicole here, Ike and Chelsea right over there. They have led a group in the Short North for the last year or so. Nicole was in their group. Nicole is actually multiplying. She's starting her own group in Clintonville. And I have a couple questions for you guys. Chelsea, you get to go first.
Right.
Tell us about your group. What's it like to be a part of the Myers group?
Gosh, our group is the best. It's it's just been, it was tough. I don't know if you guys know, but I grew up in Georgia, and I got married to Ike and moved up here 5 years ago, and ever since Three Creeks started, I feel like I finally have, like, a group of, like, real, like, true friends. Like, I really didn't have, I had a handful of people that I could call on and be close to, but ever since we started community groups at Three Creeks, it's like, I have, like, all of these people that I can just, like, call at any time, and we're texting each other throughout the week, like, hey, you know, I'm hanging out here tonight. If anyone wants to come, like, you can show up, and, like, we're all just, like, hanging out, like, all the time. And so our group is just a lot of fun because, I mean, we're all just, we hang around and we talk and we have, like, these intense, you know, we're talking about the Bible and we're really diving in and just processing the message. You know, it's really important for me to be able to hear it in the morning, think about it throughout the day, and then our group meets on Sunday nights. And so just able to talk about it out loud with other people and hear their perspectives and what they took away from the message has been just really, like, has made my faith grow a lot deeper, and we talk about that, and then once, you know, we finish with our talks, we, like, hang out till super late. Our group meets at, like, 5:30, I think, and we usually don't leave till, like, 10. Like, we're hanging out, like, all night, and we're just talking about things and watching YouTube videos and just, like, just doing dumb stuff that friends do, and it's just, it's been a lot of fun.
Ike, if you were to describe your group, and you were to describe just how it has evolved over time, how would you say it has?
Sure. So I kind of, in some ways, have a joke with Morgan, my sister, who's done a great job leading groups up to this point, but it's only somewhat of a joke where there's a sweet spot between about 8 and 12 in a group, and that's where you don't necessarily have to multiply. Anything above that, you have to think about multiplying at the end of the session. So the joke with her is, we're always right at about that eight spot so we can stay close together and not have to multiply. But it's as a result of people like Stacy and Jason and Mia and Micah and people we've added. I'm a very introverted person and I kind of like my group. But because of people that have joined our group, I'm now starting to warm up to the fact that, you know what, Morgan, I think you might be right. It's good to add to your group and then also be able to multiply, which for me is more of a challenge.
It's true. And as you think about, you know, all the folks that have joined your group, I would say too, if you kind of threw out a survey and asked everybody who was in everyone's group about like their satisfaction level or whatever, nobody would beat the people that were in the Myers group. Everybody just loves it. They talk about it all the time. Nicole, now you're going to multiply and you're going to start a new group. What do you want to take with you? What's it like to be in their group? Why does everybody in your group, why do they love being a part of it?
Well, kind of Chelsea kind of already talked about it, but our group, we love community, and we love that it's found here on Sunday mornings and also Sunday night, but we are firm believers that it happens throughout the week, that, like, along with the rest of our lives. And so, like Chelsea said, we have a group me, and people are constantly texting in it, saying they're doing something. You know, we've had lots of game nights. We've gone to Clippers games. We went paintballing. just a bunch of random stuff that we just want to spend time with each other outside, talking about work and friends and just growing together in that way as well.
It's awesome. I think bottom line is this, and this is true, whether you believe it or not, is that you could go find a better preacher. You could. There's a lot of them out there, I promise. You could find one. You could actually go to another church, and immediately you would walk in, and you would say, that is a better preacher. You could go to a lot of churches that have better sounding music. And I love Aiken, and I love our band, but there are churches with buildings that have million-dollar sound systems. It just sounds better. You could walk in, and the band would already be going, whether you're there or not, and you'd be like, wow, this sounds great. You could go to a church that has air conditioning. You could. All summer, it would have been cranked to a cool 68. You would walk in, and whether or not you're there or not, it would still be air conditioned. You could not go to a church and walk in and have friends. Couldn't do it. Friendships take time. Relationships take time. They take effort. People always talk about Jesus' miracles, like you know, fed the 5,000 or healed a blind man. Nobody ever really talks about the fact that in his 30s, Jesus had 12 close friends. That is a miracle right there. It's true. I read something this week, and I agree with it wholeheartedly. The number one reason why someone stays connected in a church is because they have meaningful relationships there. If you think about people that hop from church to church to church, the reason they hop from church to church to church is because they never spend enough time anywhere to make meaningful relationships. They don't hop from church to church because the pastor's better or the music's better or it's air conditioned. They hop because they haven't made friends yet. It's really the reason why. Here at Three Creeks, we want the front door to be wide open. We want anyone coming from anywhere to feel like they can come into this place. We want the back door to be slammed shut. And it happens by having relationships with people. And think about it this way. If your personal goal is to grow, like if you want to grow in your faith, do you think that hopping from church to church to church, unplug, plug back in, unplug, plug back in, do you think that that is a recipe for your spiritual growth? I don't think so. I think staying in a place, building relational equity with people, and walking through life with people is the best way to do it. And so Ike and Chelsea and Nicole have created this amazing tight-knit group of friends. Almost all, maybe all of our groups are just tight-knit. They do things beyond community group. If you have a baby, they create a meal train, right? For those of you that want to have a baby and want meals, get in a group. I'm telling you. I'm doubling down on the importance of people building relationships in groups. I think it's what keeps people in church a lot. I think on a Sunday morning when you roll over, you had a late Saturday night, and it's like, am I going to go or not today? Part of the motivation to get up and go is that you're going to go see people that you love. There's people in your group that are going to be there, and it's fun to see them. And that's kind of a side byproduct in a lot of ways of being in a group. Would you guys thank Ike and Chelsea and Nicole? If you're new here today, you're getting a little bit of an odd Sunday. This is kind of more of a big family meeting, a confirmation of what we find to be most important. But at the same time, if you're here for the first time, you just found out what's the most important to us. And so if you're wondering if Three Creeks might be your home church, well, just so you know, we love community groups. We want them to multiply. We want you to grow in your faith, and we don't want you to go through life alone. So we have community groups. I told you we're launching 17 of them here in a couple weeks. We have groups that meet in Gahanna, Blacklick, Short North, Clintonville, Westerville, and other places. We have groups that meet on Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. You have no excuses now. We have groups for young single people. We have groups for people who have just been married who don't have kids yet. We have groups for people who are married and have kids, and we have groups that have all of those. Some of them are very mixed, they have a wide range of ages. We have groups almost everywhere and almost all the time, and we have just tried so hard to make it something that is easy for you to put into your life and that you would hold as very valuable. Some of our groups have childcare, free childcare. Hello, right? I mean, that's a big deal. And we just want to make it so that you can be in a group. We're going to 17 of them. If you have never been in a group before and you are introverted, then here's the best way for you to get connected. And at the white tables, they'll be at the back of the aisles here in just a minute. We've got a full page card. It tells you some information about all the groups. And on the bottom, there's a tear off. And we would just have you fill that out, turn it into Three Creek Central, which is it's the table over in where the coffee's at, kind of over in the other room. Just drop it off. Somebody's just going to reach out to you. One person's going to call you or text you and just say, hey, tell me more about yourself and what you're looking for, and we can help you get into a group that might fit you. If you're extroverted, all these leaders are in and among us. They are here. And so go meet them, see if you like them, join their group, right? So would you guys do this? If you are going to be a community group leader this fall, if you're leading one of our 17 groups, would you guys stand up where you're at? There they are. If you've never been in a group, look around, take a couple of mental snapshots. Icon up here is drawing attention. His group is very small. He is recruiting hardcore. These are your group leaders. They are not just going to lead a discussion. They are going to pray for you. They are going to be with you. They're going to be there if a hard time hits you. These people are not signing up to just host or just talk. They're signing up to invest in your life. These are amazing people. As I was going through all of your pictures this week, I was just overjoyed at the people that God has put in our church. It's really amazing, all these great people. We want you to get in a group. And so whatever that means for you, however you want to do that, whether it's grabbing a card or talking to one of these people after the service, today's the day to do that. The next 3 weeks, we call it hunting season, right? We're coming for you. And we are going to ask you again and again. We're going to make you say no 19 times just because we believe in it so much. We want people to find and follow God. We think it's the best way to do it. We believe we grow best in groups. I'm going to pray for these leaders. I'm going to pray for you. So leaders, would you guys just stay standing and I'll pray for us. Then we'll kind of end our service together. Father, thank you for the leaders that you have raised up, the gifting that you have given them. We are not trying to be a Sunday morning show. We are trying to be a big group of people that want to follow you together. I pray your blessing and protection over these leaders. Thank you for their sacrifice to lead groups. We pray that you would help all of their groups to grow and be fruitful and to multiply. Thank you for them. Father, for everybody else in here who's thinking about getting in one, I pray, God, that they would. I pray that they would take that step of obedience, that they would lock arms with somebody else, that they'd be held accountable, that they would contribute, that they would be blessed and bless other people by getting into community groups. We're just trying to follow you best we can. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Leaders, y'all can sit down. Thank you guys for being here. If you're filling out a connection card, there's a drop-off right outside the door. If you're interested in signing up for Deeper Weekend, those cards are on your seat. Take it with you. If you know somebody who doesn't go to our church, who you think would think that that was cool, take that card with you. Give it to them. And we won't be here next week. You can show up, but the doors will be locked. We will not be here. We will be at the creek down at Creekside in Gahanna. We're going to baptize some people. We're going to have pizza. We're going to have ice cream. It's going to be a party. Thanks for being here. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. To find out more about our church, to give online, or to attend a service, visit threecreekschurch.com.